God, Part 3, God as Trinity. In this final part on God, we explore why, as Christians, we profess that God is one and that God is three. God is one as love, and God as love moves and flows throughout the universe and through Mother Earth and all she gives, and through animals and people too. But God is also revealed and manifested in three unique ways. As one, Abba and Creator God. Two, Jesus the Christ. And three, the Holy Spirit. So, one, Abba, God. Abba is the Aramaic word for Father. It is the special word Jesus uses for God and taught his followers to use as well. It is a term of personal intimacy, tenderness, and love. And a big part of the revelation of God in Jesus is that we can approach God and trust that God's love for us is infinite and steadfast despite our imperfections and moral failures, or the word is sins. Right? God's love is infinite, steadfast, tender. Abba God also manifests qualities of loving, as Jesus reveals it, that are as maternal as they are paternal, breaking through any gender-based stereotypes for what makes a good father versus a good mother in society. And so the analogy of God as parental love must transcend gender biases, and so my preference to use the word Abba, which makes us rethink rather than just using father. Right? God's love is tender affection, warm mercy, and understanding, as much as it is a call to rise up for justice. God's love is a call to repentance, but also the offer of forgiveness. The healing that must happen after we face the consequences of our mistakes, opportunities for reconciliation, and the inner peace of acceptance. We meet God as love in all these ways and more. God as Creator. While in Eastern Christianity, the emphasis of God as Trinity has been on the internal relations of Abba God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. So the internal relations, what's going on within God's being, right? The technical term for this is perichoresis. Peri means circle, and choros or koros means dance. The image conveyed by this term perichoresis is of three persons holding hands and dancing in a circle of love. It's a beautiful image of God the Trinity, right? But it is an image of God's internal life. And this really, really spoke to the imagination in the East especially. In Western Christianity, though, the emphasis has been less speculative, or the word is immanent, what God is doing in God's inner world, immanent, less of that. And in the West, it's been more biblical, on-the-ground relational, or the word is economic, from the Greek oikonomia, meaning the management of the everyday earthly household. So economics, economy, is management of the everyday earthly household. That's the original meaning. And so the economic Trinity, God is the creator of all that is, and God puts God's imprint on all living things. The unique imprint of God in us humans created in God's image, you know, Genesis 1, right? The imprint, the unique imprint of God in us humans created in God's image means we are not only created and called to live out the love that has made us, you know, a call to love that is shared with, we share with Mother Earth and all creatures. No, but we are also called as image bearers of God to delight in it all as God so delights. You know, in the story of creation, God creates everything and then steps back and delights and enjoys it just for what it is, the beauty of it. Everything God had made was good, and indeed it was very good. Many translators, Hebrew translators, linguists, believe the word for this good and very good, the emphasis on it, tov, is also includes the word delight, the meaning of delight, right? So we're called not just to participate in love with all creation, but also to step back and delight in it all, right? A real call, isn't it? So that's one, God as Abba, God as creator. Two, Jesus Christ. Most people of other faiths and no faith acknowledge that Jesus was a great human, a profoundly loving person who stood up for justice and was crucified as a traitor to the state in solidarity with other state victims of a violent colonizing regime with a collaboration of corrupt local leaders. That's a long statement, but it's saying that Jesus was a loving person, and many people, Christian or of faith or not, believe that historically Jesus was this, a loving person who was a victim of the state and you know, corrupt local leaders who put him there too, right? Now, with Muslims and Jews, they also acknowledge Jesus as a great prophet and one of their prophets too. What is unique about Christianity is that we profess that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, or the anointed one of God, and that Christ reveals and embodies God like no other human can. Within the first generation of Christianity, Jesus was being worshipped alongside God, and within 100 years, he was also being worshipped as fully equal to God. How this happened is a story for another time, but as Christians, we have come to the paradoxical confession that Jesus is fully human like any one of us, and yet fully equal to God or divine like no other human. More on this to come in a later section called Christology. Number three, the Holy Spirit. While the Bible speaks of God in multiple ways, and the New Testament speaks of Jesus as the Christ of God, the Holy Spirit is typically spoken of as transforming energy emanating from God or Christ and manifesting in people in all kinds of beautifully loving ways. And while Jesus was being worshipped as the Christ alongside God, it took a few hundred years before the Holy Spirit was also being acknowledged as person-like alongside Jesus Christ and Abba Creator God. Why the need to make the Holy Spirit person-like? In the worldview of the time, anything less than a person makes the Holy Spirit less equal to God and therefore less powerful in its capacity to transform life in the world. But in my opinion, and that of other theologians, making the Holy Spirit into a person also makes it potentially independent of God and Christ. In the Bible, whenever the Spirit is mentioned, you know, Ruach in Hebrew and Pneuma in Greek, it is always as an energy and power reflecting the presence and movement of God or Christ. Equality of power does not need to be an issue if the Spirit is Jesus energy or God energy, which is love energy as reflected in Abba Creator God and revealed and embodied in Jesus the Christ. And so at Armour Heights, we use the language of energy when referring to the Holy Spirit in our faith statements. More on this to come in a later section called Pneumatology. And finally, four, the Trinity is in the Bible. And let me say this in three parts. A, we encounter God as creator in the opening chapters of the Bible and throughout. And even though it is Jesus who uses the word Abba for the God he reveals, Moses' encounter with God as I Am, or Yahweh in Hebrew, also reflects personal encounter and intimacy. You know, Jesus teaches his followers and now us that such intimacy with God is a doorway for all people to enjoy. That is you and me too. This brings us to Jesus, B, God above us becomes God beside us and with us, Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1, right? God with us, when Jesus the human walks among us, teaches, transforms, challenges, gets crucified and rises up to be everywhere present, calling us to become his ubiquitous body on earth. Ubiquitous, ubiquity, everywhere present. Ubiquity means everywhere, right? And this is an important term in theological history, ubiquity, the ubiquity of Christ, Christ's body on earth. And finally, C, God moves further within us as Holy Spirit, energizing and empowering us in the face of all that seeks to harm creation and us, and as a force of love seeking to rise up in us through all our relations. This is in the Bible too, right? In the early church. And this is the story of Pentecost and onwards, right? And this is the story of God revealed in the Bible, and it is Trinitarian. God above also becomes God beside, and finally becomes God within for those whose hearts open to the divine so revealed. So what do you think? Thank you.